Only if you're ready, 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 ready. Let's go.
Hello and welcome to Divine Enigma, a podcast that talks about how to navigate through the complexities of the workplace as a modern day professional while simultaneously having a side hustle. We appreciate all of our audience members for taking some time out of their day to tune into another episode and look forward to providing you all some value through our show today. My name is Sarah and I will be your host for this podcast. This podcast will be available on all platforms where you can find podcasts, including Spotify, Amazon and Apple Podcasts, and we're also on YouTube. So when you're on YouTube, please tick the bell and subscribe. Thank you. I hope you look forward to today's show. Hello. Hi. So welcome to the Divine Enigma podcast. So I've not been as active on my podcast, and also if you're watching possibly on YouTube, I probably don't look very good because I've been very, very sick. I've been going to hospital. I've had a few appointments. So I've just not been in the right headspace, and things have been quite hard for me right now. And maybe sometime I might talk about it in detail, because right now it's just difficult to talk about. But I always try to be as positive in every situation I'm in. And again, I've got a really bad cough, but I just don't know when this cough is going to go. So I thought I'll just do a quick podcast and hopefully the cough will get better. I don't know. I always find towards the end of the year, I get very ill. Anyway, I wanted to talk about two areas in regards to portfolio careers. And also, I wanted to talk about the ethnicity pay gap. Now, the reason why I was quite interested in these two areas is because of a clip I saw on Instagram. I think it's been on TikTok and YouTube, about an amazing African-American actress, Tahaja P. Henderson, how she expressed how tired she was about being paid less as a Black woman in Hollywood.
And I heard on the street, Taraji, you had the audacity to say you're thinking about stopping acting. We said, stop talking. Are you thinking about it?
I'm just tired of working so hard, being gracious at what I do, getting paid a fraction of the cost. I'm tired of hearing my sisters say the same thing over and over. You get tired. I hear people go, you work a lot. Yes. Well, have to. The math ain't mathing. And when you start working a lot, you know, you have a team. Big bills come with what we do. Yes. We don't do this alone. The fact that we're up is a whole entire team behind us. Right. Yes. They have to get paid. So when you hear someone saying, oh, such and such made $10 million. No, that's not that didn't make it to their account. Know that off the top, Uncle Sam is getting 50%.
That's right.
Okay. So do the math. Now we have 5 million. Your team is getting 30% or whatever your team is off of what you grossed. Sometimes not more. After what Uncle Sam took. Now do the math. So I'm only human, and it seems every time I do something and I break another glass ceiling, when it's time to renegotiate, I'm at the bottom again, like I never did what I just did, and I'm just tired. Yeah. I'm tired. I'm tired.
I get that. I get that.
It wears on you, you know? Because what does that mean? What is that telling me?
What is it telling me? Yeah. And what does it tell me?
You know, and if I can't fight for them coming up behind me, then what the fuck am I doing? I'm sorry.
I don't know. Don't apologize.
I think it's an important message for people to hear because we see the lights, camera, action.
And then and they tell me we don't translate overseas.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing that my entire career. 20 plus years in the game and I hear the same thing and I see what you do for another production and when it's time for us to go to bed, you don't have any money. Mm. They play in your face. Mm-hmm. And I'm just supposed to smile and grin and bear it and just keep like enough is enough. That's why I have other things. I have my TPH brand. I have my mental wellness. I have other things because this industry, if you let it, it'll steal your soul. Yeah. But I refuse to let that happen.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I know, and most of us know quite well that when you're female and black, you always get paid generally less. And I want to bring up some information that I managed to find out about the ethnicity pay cap in the UK, which covers April 2022 to March 2023. And this came from the Competition Market Authority, the CMA. And I'm just going to summarize. Basically emphasized its commitment to diversity and inclusion, highlighting positive changes in some pay gaps. And that positive change came from, I think, if I remember, it was about a 12% disparity. So people from ethnic minorities got 12% less pay in comparison to like white English or white men compared to black women. And that has increased, that the disparity has become 15%, which means they're making more money. But obviously this is still a long way to go. But there's a gap, and they acknowledge that there's challenges, particularly the unrepresented of ethnic minorities in senior grades. So the biggest issue was there were women within the sector, like black women and within the sector, that were making like good money, but there weren't enough senior roles. And obviously when you're in those senior roles, you're getting more money as well. And the main focus is addressing unrepresentation of in all grades through a detailed equality and diversity and inclusion action plan. So they found 10 key findings, and I'll mention the findings. So the first one is positive changes in some gap measures, but challenges still persist. The other thing is underrepresentation of ethnic minorities in senior grades is a primary factor in the pay gap. Number three is actions are focused on improving representation, career progression, and inclusivity. Number four is the report uses various measures, including mean and median pay gaps, bonus gaps, and pay equalities. The report acknowledges the impact of competition specialists ranging from digital data and technology allowance on pay gap. And then number six, ethnicity pay gaps have reduced in some areas but increased in others. Number seven, representing ethnic minorities in senior grades is a priority for reducing pay gap. The report notes that CMA stands for the UK's Competitive Market Authority. CMA. It reports that ethnicity diverse compares favorably in more competitive civil services, but recognizes there's a need for improvement. And number nine, action plan for 2023-24 aims to address pay gap and improve diversity, focus on recruitment and career progression, representation, pay, and inclusivity. And then number 10, the report highlights the importance of ongoing effort to achieve the CMA's goal of a truly inclusive, representative workplace. So in conclusion, the CMA ethnicity pay gap report acknowledges progress in some areas, but emphasizes a need to address persistent challenges, particularly the unrepresented ethnicity minorities in senior grades. The commitment to transparency, inclusivity, and proactive approach to reporting is evidenced throughout the report. The CMN details action plans outline initiatives to reduce pay gaps and improve diversity, indicating a long-term commitment to create a more inclusive workplace. The conclusion highlights that the organization dedication to making a positive impact, becoming a benchmark for diversity and inclusion in the UK. Now, this just gives an overview of diversity and inclusion in terms of the pay gap. But with the UK, what I find is that they have this umbrella, which is called BAME, which covers Black, minority, Asian, Black, African, minority, no, Black. I can never remember the BAME term, but it's Black, Asian, minority group or minority ethnicity groups. And it's almost like the whole term BAME, I find it very uncomfortable because it kind of puts everybody that is non-white into one umbrella, and the experiences of someone who's Southern Asian or Eastern Asian is not the same experience that someone would have with who is Black. And then we don't even cover areas of disability as well, where disability and the representation of disabled people, including the neurodiverse community, isn't really included in this report. And I feel a lot of the time, if someone has the term of being Black and then they're neurodiverse, they're less likely to be paid what they're worth. And so one of the things that kind of stood out to me, and I'll probably put a clip of the video in this podcast, is that like a lot of people from ethnic minority groups, I'll specifically talk about the Black community, because we're never paid what we are valued at, we have to do extra things to make up for the gap that we have in disparity of pay. And what Titaja P. Henderson was basically trying to say was that she was tired of having to work harder to get the same level of wealth in comparison to a white man. And she gave an example of when she worked on one of her projects, which was Benjamin Button. I think that movie grossed quite a lot of income internationally. And I don't have the exact figures, so I don't want to say the figures, but I know that Brad Pitt got millions of pounds or millions of dollars for that particular project. And apparently she was only paid, I think, $500,000 for the project. They initially only offered her $100,000. And she kind of explained that, and it's quite, I mean, our tax systems in the UK are quite similar to ones in America, but they have their own kind of tax system. But basically, when you get to a certain tax band, and it's very typical in the UK, when you get to a certain tax band, you start paying more tax. So I think it's when you get to the 150K, I think it becomes 45%, and then you lose all you lose all your free taxable allowances, which I think is something like 12.5K. But if you have a business, you can offset it. I mean, I'm not a tax expert, but I believe that that's how it works in the UK. I think America have their own separate tax system. But basically, what she explained was what. If someone's making $500,000 on a movie, $500,000 of that, 50% goes in tax. So you're left with $25,000 or $250,000, which is $250,000. And then on top of that, you still have to pay your team behind you to help you promote the movie. So that we might be makeup artists or stylists or people that can help you promote you as an actress so that you can go out there to get more movies. And if a lot of your money is being capped, it makes it more harder for you to kind of progress further within the industry, despite the fact you've got all these accolades behind you, despite the fact that you're being paid, that you go above and beyond, and it's still not being recognized. And some might argue, Tahaja P. Henderson, she's just an average actor, but there are lots of average white female actresses, and they're getting paid more than what they're worth, and nobody's questioning them. So I feel like when she was saying that, I really felt it, because I feel like as Black women,
We're not allowed to be soft. We're not allowed to have it easy. We have to labor for everything we do. And so therefore, white women have always been given that privilege. If they didn't want to work or they don't have to work as hard, they will always have access to that support system. Whereas black women have never really kind of been given that opportunity as much in comparison to what white women get within the Western world. I can't speak of black women in Africa. Many of them may have that option of having soft life and having a good life because race is not seen in Africa. Africa is that you're either rich or you're poor. And if you're a rich African woman, you're generally going to be living a much softer life than if you are a poor African woman. And there's different dynamics to that as well. But overall, in the Western world, when you're black, you know, and you're female, you tend to have to work harder to get probably a fraction of what a white man would get.
Hi, I got the figure wrong. I believe she got $150,000 for Benjamin Button. I said $500,000, so I must have got that confused. But the main point I was trying to make was there is a disparity of pay when it comes to men and women, and also an even bigger disparity of pay when it comes to being a black woman as well. So I'll just add that in just to make sure that I'm a bit clear on that, because I did this episode when I was really, really ill and I just wanted to get content out. So please bear with me, and I hope everything that I am including in here is of some help.
Make as much as a certain person that's been in the game longer than me, has proven box office success. I'm proving myself still. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm not gonna belittle myself, my talent, and my worth. I know that I can at least bring you $500,000 in ticket sales.
Right.
If not more.
Right.
Because when you did Benjamin Button,
that was $150,000.
Right.
Okay, so let me break it down, because I remember some people were like, $150,000, she greedy, that's a lot of money. Let me break this down for
you. Okay.
When you start making that kind of money, Uncle Sam takes 50%. Mm-hmm. So let's do the math. We're going to act like this romper room. You know how they give you this.
Yes,
those shows, they let you compute it for a second. So that leaves me with 75 now, right?
Yep.
Then I have to pay another 30% to my team who did all the work to get me that job.
Yes.
So I don't pay them 30% of the 75. No, no, no.
No.
I pay them 30% of the 150 that comes out of my 75. So what does that compute to? Okay, so let's break it down like this. You have 12 months in a year to make your money, right? If you do a film for 5 months, that takes you off the market for anything else to earn any other kind of coin until you're done with that show. At the time, my son's school tuition, because he was in high school at Buckley, was $30,000.
Yep.
I chose my son's education over fancy cars and all those things. And so literally for 5 months, that's what I made, his tuition. Now what? I got to hit the pavement again.
That's right.
And I got to scrounge up another check.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So that is how that works, ladies and gentlemen.
I am so happy you broke that down, because so many people have the misconception.
Yeah.
So I wanted to move on swiftly from the diversity and ethnicity pay gap to portfolio careers. Now, the term portfolio career is not a new concept, but I feel like it comes from a place of hustle culture. I've kind of been thinking a lot around how I want my career to be in 2024. And I feel like I don't want to work on that corporate ladder, but I don't also want to lose the perks of the 9-to-5. And so I want to create a sort of portfolio career for myself. And people call it different things. Some people call it having a side hustle or whatever it may be. But I feel like portfolio careers might be the way forward, because it will give people the option of maximizing their income as much as they can. I also feel like by having a portfolio career, you have the options of dipping in and out in the corporate world, and also having the opportunity to kind of work for yourself. and building your own assets in that sense. When you lean too heavily on an employer can decide to pay you more or less if you're sick, or an employer can then decide they don't want to keep you on because they can't afford to. Well, if you create your own portfolio career, you can always pick up on money in other areas if one area doesn't work. I used to come across like a group of people that snob 9-to-5ers and say, oh, 9-to-5 isn't cool. You're working for the man. You're not going to get much. But I actually don't think having a 9-to-5 is bad. I actually think it's quite positive. I think especially if you want to have a family and you're working for a good company that actually respects and cares about your needs, you can get access to maternity leave. You can get access to sick leave, sick pay, holiday pay, and not have to work crazy and not get access to those things. And I feel like people underestimate the positivities of being a 9-to-5er compared to working as a side hustler. I did a call some time ago with a coach, and I thought this would be really good for me to kind of be more entrepreneurship. And I just came out of that course feeling that I spent a lot of money having to do a lot of work, and I just didn't see the benefit of that. Well, as in my 9-to-5, I don't have to kill myself working, and I still get my pay every month. And I feel that there's so much benefit to working for an employer because you don't have to take the risk or the benefit. You can use your employer as a leverage to figure out what it is you want to do. And even if you realize that you didn't want to do your like side hustle and you wanted to work for your boss, you know, you can put that work in. And maybe for some people, they feel like it's either all or nothing. And I don't think that's the case. I think you can have a career where you're giving your boss what is required of you in your role. But also at the same time, you can have your own passion project, whether that be a hobby or something you're getting paid to do. And I think it's important that we understand that there's a balance in life. We are not our jobs. We don't allow our jobs to represent us. And I think it's important that your job title, whether that be a CFO, a project manager, a doctor, shouldn't be who you are and your identity. Your identity is more than just a doctor, project manager, accountant, or lawyer, or CFO. Or CEO, your identity comes from being able to be more than one facet. So for me, I've always believed that my identity does not lie in my job role. And I think the reason why entrepreneurs scowl for people who are 9-to-5ers because they feel that a lot of 9-to-5ers identify in their role. And I don't think you should identify in your role because you may have other skills and experiences that you can tap into that you can get from a hobby or from a side gig that you can be paid for. And I think a lot of people need to sort of embrace, and I think employers should embrace people with portfolio careers, because if you can embrace someone with a portfolio career, more than likely they can give you a lot of their personality and who they are. But I feel we live in this world that hides the fact we have a side hustle from our boss just in case our boss thinks that we don't want to do our job anymore. And that might not even be the case. You might want to do your job, but you also want to try your hands on coaching people, or you might want to try your hands on, I don't know, doing hair, you know, because it's something you enjoy. And then that doing people's hair might be something that you can then get paid for as something that you enjoy as a passion project on the side. Also, the idea of portfolio career is something that a lot of people of colour have to go into because we don't get paid at the same level as our white counterparts. So a lot of the time you might be a person of color, you might be working as a project manager. One project manager is getting, I don't know, 75K per annum and you're getting 45K. So how are you going to make up the difference? You've got to do a side hustle so that you can bag your money. And sometimes that's what a lot of Black people have to do because we're not getting paid the same level as white people. So we don't get to relax. So that is something that comes out of, I guess, necessity and survival. And also, like, with the cost of living crisis and all these other aspects of trying to better yourself, it does become a challenging trying to navigate the corporate world. And even that's a skill set in itself, trying to negotiate your pay and asking your managers, this is what I'm worth. Can you pay me that? So sometimes you just don't have the energy to have to deal with that. So you pick up a side hustle, you pick up another project you can do on the side so that you can get extra money to ensure that you're creating wealth for your family, because these corporates are not going to do it for you. So I feel like sometimes a portfolio career is like founded out from accidental realms because the opportunities are not available. So you have to create your own opportunities. And I've always, without my parents even telling me, my parents always did different jobs. And it's because they've had to create their own opportunities because the opportunities have not been given to us. I don't feel like I could sit here and say, oh, I've always been like that. And it's something I've had to be because I'm not getting the pay that I want or need. So, yeah, I thought I'll just do like a quick podcast on this. It's almost Christmas. Christmas Day will be on Monday, I believe. So I really hope that all of you who are listening to this have a happy Christmas if you haven't already, and have an amazing 2024. Okay then, thank you. Take care. I want to let our audience members know about the 6-week coaching program that I'll be offering to people who are neurodivergent, or you could also be neurotypical, who want help improving their career prospects in general, or for those who just want to get into project management. I'm also giving you the opportunity to also join my waitlist for the membership platform Neuro in EGMA. On the platform, you'll get access on how to start your own business as a person with a neurodiverse condition. We'll also have access to webinars and also masterminds on how you can really level up and improve your ADHD and dyslexia. I'm mostly focusing on those two neurodiverse conditions, but I'm hoping in time I'll expand to more neurodiverse conditions, including autism, Tourette syndrome, and various other dyspraxia, dyscalculia, and other neurodiverse conditions within Neuroenigma. But yeah, please go to the Divine Enigma podcast website page, so divineenigma.org, and just sign up to the wait list to get more information about Neuroenigma. I'll be giving an exclusive discount for all the founding members. So I've mentioned this in earlier episodes before, but yeah, it is a great opportunity. I'm also going to be offering support to people who want to pass the PRINCE 2 practitioner exam, as I've taken it and failed it a few times, but I want to help others on how they can pass it first time. And if this sounds interesting to you, or you'd like to learn more, please reach out to me directly via email, which is hello@divineenigma.org. Or you can reach out to me via social media, which is divineenigma on Instagram. So I'll leave all that information in the description box if you're watching on YouTube, or I'll leave that within the show notes. So like I like to say, please follow me on all platforms where you listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening to Divine in EGMA, and if you got to the end, this is a safe place for project managers, professionals, side hustlers, business owners, to give you the tools and tips on how to navigate the complexity of being neurodiverse in the workplace. I'll see you soon, and have a Merry Christmas if you already had one, and enjoy 2024. Take care. Bye.